Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry, brought to you by Hunt & House Archery Center over there off Longley in Reno. Hunt & House is the place to go to get set up, especially with what we're going to be talking about today, the junior primitive hunts for mule deer in the state of Nevada. And Dave, let's go general state of affairs with mule deer.
Mule deer are definitely struggling in some areas. In some areas, they're stable. Some areas, they are having some issues. This particular year, the Department of Wildlife has and the Wildlife Commission, there are no antlerless mule deer tags.
Period.
Period.
Junior or otherwise.
Junior or otherwise, there are not.
Well, I remember this goes back, oh gosh, maybe 2011-ish. I remember buying, it was basically looked at as like an over-the-counter tag for an antlerless mule deer.
Correct.
For a rifle antlerless mule deer.
Oh yeah, back in the day, you can go and pick up a over-the-counter tag.
Yeah, they were always those first come, first serve or whatever. Yeah. They were always left over. This is the first time I've seen that where there are no antlerless mule deer hunts whatsoever. Here's my take on that. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a necessary thing for sure. Obviously, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it.
Correct.
Me and my buddies have talked about this for a long time. Like, mule deer are just getting their butts kicked, period. All over the West.
All over the West. Not just Nevada. I mean, everywhere that there are mule deer, they are struggling.
And I would rather see something like this where we protect one sex of the species to hopefully increase the herd size.
Yeah.
Then lose it altogether or lose areas to hunt altogether.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it. I'm not going to go, ho hum, this is terrible. Woe is me. I'm going to look at it as, okay, this is a good step to prevent a collapse of some of these herds.
I agree with that completely. And, you know, we need to partner that up with habitat improvements. A lot of area has burned. A lot of area has been overtaken by invasive plants, weeds, grasses, and
cheatgrass
stuff like that, that these animals aren't utilizing. I mean, just because the dirt's there doesn't mean an animal lives there. Just like anything else, just like us, you got to have the proper habitat for them to occupy it. And, you know, hopefully moving forward with no hunting antlerless deer and habitat improvement programs, and, you know, along with all these NGOs, you know, these nonprofits helping out with a lot of these projects, we start seeing a change and an upswing in the mule deer population over the next decade.
I'll piggyback on your, just because it's dirt doesn't mean something can live there.
Yeah.
Just because it's green doesn't mean they'll eat it.
Right. Oh, yeah. Completely.
Yeah. Family from back east, you know, in the springtime in Nevada, you'll see those green and they'll talk about how pretty it looks. And all I see is cheatgrass.
Yes.
And so just because it's green doesn't mean that they are going to eat it.
No, not at all.
Going to the junior hunts, we started down this road
when we
did the hunt book episode, and we realized it was just, it was a little bit too much to bite off.
Yeah, there's a lot of blue and a lot of changes.
Where do you want to start?
Well, we can get into the primitive antlered only tag for the juniors.
Okay.
So instead of it having that broken down this year to archery or, you know, archery and muzzleloader as separate hunts and separate activities.
Right.
It's all one tag.
Oh, that's how that, okay,
it's archery
okay.
Or muzzleloader. So if the kid pulls the tag for the primitive hunt, it is archery or muzzleloader.
But you still have to,
like, you can't use a muzzleloader during the archery hunt.
So you have to adhere to the season. Okay, so holy smokes.
So they still have.
I didn't realize that. I was looking at these going, oh, there's a new archery hunt and a new muzzleloader hunt. But that is one hunt.
That's one hunt.
Oh,
and you'll
okay.
see the, you know, in the other column, you'll see the seasons, which follow the archery season, the standard archery season, August 10th through September 9th. And then your standard muzzleloader season, which is September 10th through October 4th.
Right.
And so you still have to adhere to those dates in relation to the primitive weapon. But your youth hunter will have a tag that gives them both seasons, and they can hunt with a bow And then if they don't, if they're not successful with the bow or don't want to hunt with a bow, then they just hold out, and then they get the smoke stick out, and in September 10th, they start hunting for the deer.
Okay, so they could hunt August 10th through October 4th.
Yeah.
That is pretty darn cool.
It is. It's pretty slick.
You could realistically, because, you know, there are still bucks in velvet at the end of archery season.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to watch my kids smash a big buck in velvet with a muzzle loader.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So it is a kind of a neat hunt, the primitive hunts. And again, you still have your standard junior mule deer hunt, which allows you to hunt all three seasons.
Right.
With
right.
archery muzzle loader and then any legal weapon. So you still have that option.
So back up to the primitive antlered only, or I guess I don't even have to say antlered only. They are all antlered only. But the primitive one, these new hunts, Dave, I take it, I'm going to go out on a limb here. These units that they've isolated, so it's 014, 065, 081, and then looks like unit 11, 13, 19, 22, and 24. So for the primitive hunts, they've isolated like a handful of unit groups here for these hunts. So I'm looking at that, and then I look down. So for everybody following along at home, we're now on page 21. I'm looking at pages 20 and 21. And if I go down, I see there's also an any legal weapon hunt in those same units. So
correct. And those are void of the units from the primitive hunt.
Why those units? You got any ideas?
I think these particular units provide the best opportunity for using a primitive weapon. Probably more along the lines that there are adequate animals to pursue.
They've split it up, so now it's two different hunts for those specific units. So I'm assuming like if a kid puts in for, you can put your ranked choices. They could go primitive number one, any legal weapon number two, and then the rest of these they would have to pick, because there are still the existing, like you referred to them as the traditional archery muzzle loader or any legal weapon.
Correct.
There's a handful of units there. It looks like there's one new, basically the big six. Unit six is a new hunt under that kind of traditional, you could hunt archery, then muzzle loader, then rifle or any legal weapon.
Correct.
You know, I heard that the unit six herd got kind of spanked during that winter, but I'm assuming if there's a new hunt out there for youth that something's going right, or the numbers are decent.
You look at the five or, well, six units that it's covering, that's a quarter of the state or a third of the state.
Yeah. Good
so,
point.
Yeah. I mean, you've got area like six and seven are pretty darn good. I mean, 67 or 66 through 68 are pretty good for deer numbers. When you get up into 6-1 and 6-2, you know, that massive fire and then the winter and everything, those numbers are probably not as great.
Yeah.
So it just depends on where you go. I mean,
I hunted 062. A friend had that tag 2 years ago now up there, Pennsylvania Hill, famously, famous area out there. But we did not see the number or quality of deer that you have in years past.
Right. I was on an elk hunt in 6-1 3 years ago.
Okay.
And we were up there for 10 days, and I would say we saw maybe a handful of deer the entire time we were up there.
Gotcha.
You know, we saw.
But they're doing okay, like in the Tuscaroras?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, with a massive area to scout and look for, I mean, again, it comes down to what do you want for your kid? What kind of experience do you want for your youth hunter?
Right.
You know, are you going to run for a big, massive animal? Or are you just trying to get, like I did with my children when they were youth hunters, I had them hunt what was available and go for it just so that they can get that experience of shooting the bow, shooting the gun, getting an animal on the ground, understanding the process in which it takes to achieve that point of harvesting an animal, and then what is entailed in processing that animal and getting it into the coolers and the whole bit.
Right,
I wanted them to learn that young to make sure that this was a trajectory that they wanted, that they wanted to become hunters.
Hey, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, though, because this episode, we got a bunch of stuff coming up. We're going to get into wolves,
oh,
kind
yeah.
of a hot-button topic.
Yes, all over the internet.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk wolves. We'll continue with some of the junior hunt stuff. It's all coming up on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thanks for hanging in there over the break. While we were at break there, Dave, you brought something up, and I haven't stopped smiling and chuckling about it, but let me do the my due diligence here. Hey, the show's Nevada Backcountry. We're talking junior hunts, talking wolves a little later. Now, let me jump back to where I was. Okay, I'm going to put this out there, and this might sound harsh, but if you are one of the people out there right now that think that Nevada is only going to do a non-resident moose hunt, you got problems. Get your meds adjusted.
Something. I mean, there's so much.
Quit eating the paint. Okay.
Yes, exactly. You know,
there are not going to be any non-resident moose hunts.
None.
Probably in my lifetime.
None. There are none. Definitely not this year.
Yeah.
So all of the chatter that we keep hearing on either our social media for Nevada Backcountry or from just in general on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat,
forums, whatever you call it,
there are no non-resident moose tags in the state of Nevada. And the other one that's going around is you cannot hunt in Idaho with a Nevada moose tag.
Good point. Yeah.
There's people
saying,
oh, yeah, if you get the moose tag, you can also hunt in Idaho. No, that is the only tag where you can cross state boundaries is the 091 elk tag.
That's an interstate hunt.
That is an interstate hunt. That's the only one.
And that's to Utah.
Yes, that's to Utah.
Not Idaho. So I think we're talking about this too. I think some of the confusion there is 091 and 081.
Yes, I think
so. 081 is that very northeastern corner of the state.
Correct.
And then 091 is basically like right there by Wendover.
Correct.
Just below it.
Just there, yeah.
Yeah. So 091, no moose hunting.
Yes.
That's an interstate elk hunt. Totally different species, totally different hunt.
Totally different hunt. So our advice to anyone out there who is listening to the Google searches and the Google biologists, figure it out yourself, read up on it, call the department, call people who actually know, send us emails, we'll find out for you. Just do your own due diligence so that you don't end up
getting yourself in a pickle.
Yeah, with having your UTV, your camper and everything seized because you whacked a moose in Idaho.
You know what, though? I'm glad that this kind of stuff happens because there are those occasions in life, for me anyway, where somebody's trying to explain something to me and it just doesn't make sense. And I go, man, am I really that dumb?
Yeah.
And then stuff like this happens and there are people out there that say, well, it's only going to be, and I realize I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I'm not as dumb as.
You know, I'm just a hair above average and I'm going to go with that. Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for setting that bar low, folks. It's a little boost to my ego there.
That's right.
Now let's go back to the junior stuff. We were just starting to roll on that before we went to break, Dave. I want to bring up something as far as the archery stuff. Quick plug again for Hunting House Archery Center. Make sure you guys know what you can legally and cannot hunt with. I don't think, maybe by the time she's 12, but I know for a fact, Madeline, my oldest daughter, she does not have a 24-inch draw length, and her arrows are a lot shorter than 24 inches.
Correct.
And that is the legal minimum.
Correct, for the arrow length.
Yeah.
Yes, so, legal minimum, and then 40-pound bow.
Right, right, which she's not drawing that either.
No, and no magnification in the sight.
Okay.
You can use a clarifier in the peep.
Right.
You know, some of us use clarifiers in the peeps and stuff, which you can use, but nothing that will magnify the target at which you are shooting at.
Okay.
Zero magnification.
And it's got to be, is there a certain weight requirement for the arrow or?
Man, what was that?
I think it's 340.
340, I think it is. I think it's 340 grain arrow is the minimum weight. Which is pretty easy to hit, especially
you're
dropping the broadhead on there and such. So, and you really do want an arrow that's at least 350 when you're hunting, just for
and
the
boy,
kinetic
even
energy.
That's pretty light.
It is pretty light. Yeah. I mean, if you're whacking an antelope or something, okay, you're going to smoke right through it, but you still want that kinetic energy because there's a lot of bone, shoulder blade,
yep,
stuff like that.
Nerves there, you know, maybe not the best shot placement.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, I would go as heavy as possible without turning it into like a spear that
right, exactly.
Kind of flops out there.
550 grain arrow.
That, yeah, don't do but, that. But yeah. Man, 400-ish grains if you can, and and no mechanicals.
God, no. You know? No, because mechanical broadheads take away from the energy of the arrow hitting the target.
Right.
And if you're already shooting a youth bow and you're shooting 45 pounds, you need as much penetration and power as you can absolutely get. So, little backstory on, so I took my nephew out for his first deer hunt.
He was 12?
He was 12, yeah, 12 years old. We sat in a blind at a great location, deer coming in like crazy. At home, he was a great shot. At home, shooting the targets, he was just slaying it at 15, 20, 25, 30 yards. When it came to the deer hunt, you would have thought the kid was drawing his bow while pooping a peach seed. I mean, he was shaking so bad. We had does, a little forkies and stuff at 10, 15 yards, and he was launching arrows over their back, hitting the dirt. He shot through the blind. I mean, it was like,
just anything that could go wrong went wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, when those kids get in front of that animal for the first time, they may be telling you, "Dad, no, man, I was calm as ever," but you watch them, and you're like, no, you're not. So anyway, but
we've talked about that before. Yeah. I had that hunt in Ohio with my daughter, and I had never, probably like you, I put all the emphasis into, can you hit this at certain distances?
Yeah.
And we never actually discussed like, you're going to be killing something.
Yeah.
So, hey, I would encourage people, if you're one of the ones that wants to put your kid in for these new hunts, which there are a ton of, you know, it might be worth a trip over the border to California, kill a turkey.
Yeah.
Pig or something.
Yeah. Or even get them out and do some of the 3D shoots, because you are shooting a three-dimensional animal.
Yeah.
Kind of trains the brain to see that image.
Silhouette and everything.
Silhouetting it the whole nine yards, or buy yourself a 3D target. You know, get that memory to shooting something that has the figure and the posture of an animal.
Right.
And that's what I did with my kids. I know I keep saying my kids, this is what I did. But, and it didn't always work out. But
best so, you intentions.
Know, get, yeah, exactly. So get them used to shooting at an animal target.
Okay, what was the final outcome on that hunt with your nephew?
He must have shot 12 arrows at animals and went home with nothing. The beauty was, to this day, I mean, he's 22 now.
Still hunting?
My God, he is a hunting machine now.
Yeah, okay.
And he's an archer. He's hard. He's a big-time archer now, and he is definitely, we still have this conversation. To this day, he still believes he was cool as a cucumber. And so, and I even have a video. I took a video of him while he was in the blind drawing
arrows,
an animal
chattering around in the rest.
I mean, it was like bouncing off of the rest, and I mean, he was shaking so bad.
Yeah,
but
happens to the best of us.
It does. Yeah. It does. So yeah, we went home with nothing, which was good. But like I said, he missed clean on every shot, so it was beautiful.
Well, that's knock on wood. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was my biggest fear. Was like, okay, we got to go chase this deer for the next 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Something's got an arrow in its ass running across three counties.
And that's, for me, once you do something like that, that's your animal. You were going to chase that animal, and if we get it, we get it. If we don't, your tag's done.
Yep, you filled it.
You filled it.
Understandable. That's, so, okay, back to the new hunts here. They separated, like we said, page 20, page 21. They separated the primitive, what they're calling the primitive class, for a handful of units, and then antlered only. So if in the past you have put in for those hunts for a son or daughter, and you thought, okay, well, we can hunt all the way through rifle season, not a big deal. That's not the case this year. Make sure you look at that.
Yeah,
and
make
then,
sure you know what you're putting in for.
Yeah.
Because your favorite area that you put in for, if you don't look at these pages and see these changes, and you decide, you know what, put my kid in for the same areas we have been for years. And you know what, we're doing area 221, 223.
Yep.
That's the spot we love. That is only a primitive hunt.
Yes. Yeah. So make sure you look at that. Now, I wanted to bring up something too. This is on the same topic. I was reading in there. I did not know this. So I'm going to read verbatim out of the book here. This is the bottom of page 21. Juniors and bonus points. An 11-year-old junior hunter who will turn 12 before the beginning of the last junior hunt season is eligible to purchase a bonus point. So this specific instance for my oldest daughter, Madeline,
yeah,
who her birthday is in October. She will be 11 at the time that the tags come out, right, that you can apply.
Right.
She won't turn 12 until October, but I can buy her bonus points starting next year.
So she'll be 12
in October.
This October.
Next October.
No, next October.
So,
yeah,
next year.
Yeah, next year you'll be
during
able
the spring,
to,
I can buy her bonus points.
Correct.
Because she turns 12 before that. I did not know that. That was something new I noticed in this. Or yeah. I mean, maybe that's been the policy all along.
No. That is something new.
Oh, okay.
So she'll be able to apply for bonus points next year.
Yeah. April of 2025, she will be 11, but I can purchase her bonus points for everything.
Yeah.
She just can't put in until April of 2026 when she is actually 12.
Correct.
All right. Cool.
Correct.
Man, that's awesome.
Yes.
Hey, on that note, let's take a break. Thank you to Truck Envy here in Reno on South Virginia for sponsoring the show. Oh, man, I'm heading up to go fishing. We're heading out, got a bunch of 3D shoots. Make sure you guys are as equipped as possible before you hit the road this spring and summer. Go see the guys at Truck Envy in Reno. Listening to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thank you to all of you that have taken the time to text us. Text line is 775-884-9910. Got some good stories about sheep hunts on there. Got some comments, feedback on stuff we've brought up on the show. But sincere thanks for those of you that take the time out of your day to text in. Again, that number is 775-884-9910. And if you miss a segment of the show and you want to go back and give it a re-listen, we are available on Apple Podcasts. Just search for Nevada Backcountry. And you can go to 991fmtalk.com. All the shows are archived there, so you can listen to the whole thing, or you could isolate a certain segment. Before we went to break there, we were kind of wrapping up on the junior hunt changes, primitive season, any legal weapon stuff, anything else you want to get into before we get rolling on wolves, Dave?
No, I think we pretty much covered the major changes with the hunt book and the junior mule deer tags. So yeah, I think we're pretty good. Good luck to your kids. Get out there, have some fun with the family.
As the season gets closer, I'll keep pushing this, but yeah. Holy smokes, if you're one of the lucky ones, your kid gets something with a bow, I don't care if it's a spike or a fork. Hey, tag us. Post it. Tag us. Send it to us. My email is Henry.
We'll highlight it.
Oh, yeah. My email is henry@ebc.media. Hey, send us the picture. We'll put it up on our social media stuff if you want your kids out there on social media. If not, just share the picture. We'll get a chuckle out of it. I get a lot of pictures. And here's where I'm going with this. I get a lot of pictures of the big deer down. Or a why, you know what I mean? From adult, like friends out hunting.
Yeah, the big massive monsters.
Yeah, and I know they take their kids hunting. In fact, my neighbor, his daughter got a nice deer this year. Well, I got pictures of all the big stuff. I didn't get a picture of his daughter with her deer.
Yeah.
I like seeing the kids out there with stuff being successful.
I completely agree. I love seeing those pictures. Doesn't matter the size of the animal or anything, just that smile on the kid's face.
100%. Now let's go wolves.
Yes.
I've got my opinion on this. A shocker to those of you that listen to the show, I got an opinion on this, but I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to yield my time to you, Dave.
Oh, no.
Here's my bottom line on the wolves in the state of Nevada. They are here. I've seen one. This goes back to an elk hunt in 2012. I've seen a wolf with my own eyes in the state of Nevada. Wolves are in the state of Nevada, I think I can say, period, now. And I will say, for that camp out there that loves these creatures and wants to see them kind of rebound in a state they were native to.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum.
Yes.
So when wolves were gone, it's not like that space in the food chain just kind of hung out and existed. It was filled by other predators and other predator populations.
Yeah.
So when you go through something like this where a reintroduction occurs, or there is a, I get it's not new, it's native, but new for all intents and purposes, predator on the landscape, there are going to be negative consequences for prey species. All right, I've said my piece, Dave. It's all you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I agree with a chunk of that for sure. So
with a chunk of very,
oh yeah, no,
that's the old Potomac
sure.
two-step,
yeah, exactly,
Dave.
Right? Yeah. First off, as we've seen on the internet a little bit, these are not timber wolves. There are some folks out there that are. There's that picture of that beautiful postcard wolf,
right,
from the Elko area, the northern that Jarbridge area, I think it is. Not timber wolves. These are gray wolves.
Right.
These are gray wolves.
Canadian gray wolf, right?
Canadians, correct. Yeah.
Illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
No.
Darn Canadians. Yeah, Canucks. So they've probably been in the state for a while. I mean, there was a time where I thought I saw one as well when we were up on an elk hunt years and years and years ago in area 081.
Mm-hmm.
My buddies and I saw it, and we all thought that must be a wolf. We didn't say anything. We just, well, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, now this is a for sure photos, multiple photos of more than one.
Yeah.
Let's in Nevada.
I got on my soapbox a little too quick. What Dave and I are talking about is confirm. It was three, correct?
Three.
Okay, so they were doing an aerial survey for moose.
Yes.
And they then filmed, photographed, observed three wolves traveling together in what part of the state?
The northeastern portion of the state.
Okay, so got to be up there, 081.
Yes, you know, seven,
area seven.
Six, that whole area.
Okay.
Somewhere. I don't know if it's ever been determined exactly the location of these, but it's definitely in Nevada and definitely in that, you know, northern section above Elko.
And this was, what, a week ago or so?
Yeah, a couple
weeks?
Two, three weeks ago now, yeah, because it's been circulating around the internet now for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's about. I've seen a couple different articles that were published.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. I mean, you look at those pictures. There's
wolves.
Absolutely no doubt that those are wolves.
Well, and the one I saw, absolutely no doubt. It was, I won't say jet black, but it was it was pretty much black. And I saw it up near Wells on an elk hunt, I'll say. So no doubt it was a wolf that I saw. Now, I want to bring up, too, there was the collared wolf that moved through. This goes back a while. He moved, or she moved, through Carson Valley. Was it a he?
I think
wound up down near Ontario, California.
Right. Oh, I think it was, they named it OT7 or something like that.
Oh, was the wolf's name. Okay.
Was
yeah.
And it traveled very long distances. It came across part of Nevada, went into California, and now it's residing. It found a mate.
Okay.
And now it resides in Oregon.
Oh, went all the way back up to Oregon.
Where it was released.
Gotcha.
And it kind of did its travel. Because a lot of people are like, oh, they don't move that far. Well, they do.
Well, they'll cover some ground, yeah.
They will cover ground, especially the males. They will cover significant ground looking for a mate.
Yeah, a couple hundred miles in a loop, right?
Oh, easy. Yeah. Because the population of that these are thought to come from is the ones in Idaho. And it's central Idaho is the bulk of where at one time there's like 1,500 wolves.
Yeah, the McCall area, I know.
Right,
there's a bunch,
And, you know, they now allow hunting and permits and such. And they're trying to get the population down to 500.
Okay.
But with Idaho having some game issues, numbers are super low in some areas on elk and deer and everything else. It has been publicized that when you have a decrease in prey species, they will move. And they can move anywhere from, you know, they can have a 50, 60 square miles on a good hunting location, a high prey base.
Okay.
To almost 1,000 square miles if the prey base isn't there for them and they've got to travel. I mean, and they all travel together as a large group and they will cover massive ground. And that's most likely why they're in Nevada now, because
I think the big hullabaloo over this is
that
they're calling it a pack now versus like the one I saw, it was a single.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of traditionally, if you talk to like highway patrol out there, Elko Wells, you know, everybody's got a story of, oh yeah, one ran across the road in the middle of the night or something like that.
Yeah.
But I've always, it's been
it's
singles.
Always been singles. Yeah. Like
so the one this we saw was a single.
Yeah. The one we saw was a single all those years ago, but you generally have the males will wander.
Right.
The males are going to wander, just like college kids. They're going to be hitting the nightclubs.
Looking for ladies and food.
Looking for ladies and food.
Yeah. But so yeah, that's now, why this is really...
It's a big thing.
Right.
It's
right.
a big thing because now you've got three hanging out together, which would be classified as the beginning of a pack. The next step is if we see a so-called pack in reproduction.
I was going to say, that was the big controversy over the reintroduction. So I'll be interested to see. It's funny. I noticed all the stories I read, they're referring to it as a pack.
Yes.
They're not getting into the legalese of the breeding pair yet or any
right.
of that.
Right.
But they are calling this a pack. And it was three wolves and three mature wolves.
Yes, three mature wolves. I don't think they were able to determine sex.
Sex. No, it was aerial,
I mean,
right?
It was all aerial and stuff. But, you know, I mean, this all started back in, well, quite some time ago. 1994, 95 is when they released.
The reintroduction.
The reintroduction started. And then in somewhere around 2017 or so is when they determined that the population was sustainable enough that they can delist them. They delisted them in Idaho, Montana,
I believe, and Wyoming.
Yeah. They delisted them there, and then Idaho started, you know, allowing hunting them and try to start managing the population because they were going kind of hog wild. I mean, in Idaho, they went up to just over 1,500, almost 1,600 wolves within that five or seven that were introduced.
Into the GYE, the Greater Yellowstone Ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I want to make a point on that, too, but I'm looking at the time. We got to go to break. We'll continue on the wolf subject. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Hey, thanks again for joining us on Nevada Backcountry. Where we left off, you made it a point, Dave, to bring up how quickly it seemed like that population grew. And I was telling you, I've talked to both sides of the aisle on this, everything from the no carbon footprint Patagucci crowd to full-blown outfitter guides in some of these really impacted areas in Idaho. There's one kind of overlap in the Venn diagram there, and that is all of them almost universally agree that there are probably more wolves on the landscape than are actually surveyed because of A, the country they live in, B, the roaming nature of the packs, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. They're incredibly difficult to track, to survey.
Unless you get a collar on them.
Well, that's pretty much the only way you can really do it is to get a collar on them because like we were just stating, read it somewhere that they can travel up to 30 miles in a day.
Oh, I'd buy that.
20 miles, 30 miles in a day.
I'd buy that, yeah.
So if you're thinking, hey, we saw some wolves in this canyon yesterday.
They're gone.
So you're probably right. There's definitely more wolves than are being
counted
at the point in time.
And think about, if you go into like, you know, holy smokes, Frank Church Wilderness up there.
Oh man, steep, nasty. You're not getting anyone in there.
You can fly over that for years with a helicopter and still not see everything.
No. I mean, you won't see an airplane that crashed in there.
Right.
I mean, you know, let alone a wolf that blends into the habitat.
Oh yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. So I think everybody, I think we're all in agreement. There are more wolves out there than the numbers suggest. Now, that being said, there are two known packs, right? There's the what is it, the Mountain Home Pack in Idaho.
Right.
And then there's that one in Eastern Oregon. So those are the two. I want to bring up, though, this is not rumor. This is not gossip. I've seen with my own eyes, and I know the person. They were coyote calling up near Susanville. They took a video on their phone. They called in a pack of wolves outside of Susanville in California. I know there, at least as of last year, there was a pack of wolves in that area outside of Susanville.
Like the Eagle Lake area, way up in there.
Yeah.
that thick forest.
Yep. Yeah. Thick timber country.
And that's, it wouldn't be completely unheard of because of how elusive these things are. It's part of their DNA. This is what they do.
There's a rumor right now. I'll go ahead and I'm just going to call it a rumor because that's all it is. But a ranch down by my dad's place, which is South Gardnerville, Job's Peak area, he lost a couple calves. And the rumor going around right now is that it was a wolf because of the condition of the carcasses the next morning.
Oh, okay.
Look, there's always going to be these rumors out there that, you know, hey, it was wolves did this, wolves did that, whatever. It's kind of become the boogeyman of the West, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's deserved in all the cases for sure. And I am when I hear story, right, I hear a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I get a lot of texts or somebody says, oh, this, that, or the other thing. Unless there's pictures or proof, I tend to be like, nah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree because picture or a video, it definitely kind of nails it down.
Oh, yeah.
Just word of mouth, because it ends up being the fish story. You know, you catch a 6-inch trout, and next thing you know, your buddies are like, dude, I heard you caught a 12-pound, 32-inch.
Yeah.
No, it's not the case. So, you know, my two cents on this is they were here at one time. They were basically targeted due to the cattle industry.
Yep.
Back in the turn of the century, 1800s, late 1800s and so, and you know, they were completely eliminated out of the western United States by 1947 when the last breeding pair was shot out of, I think it was Colorado. I think that was what it was, somewhere around there. But, you know, 1947, they were completely gone. Idaho was in 1926, I think, was the last one that was shot.
Okay, I heard the last documented sighting in Nevada was 1922.
Something like
now,
that.
Now, as we've discussed, we've seen
legitimately like this, this is it.
Here's a clump of hair. Here's a
dead carcass.
Yeah.
That type of a thing. Yeah. So, you know, they were naturally here. I would hope that the Western states and all the organizations, government and non-government entities, NGOs and stuff, eventually come to an understanding that as these populations do move across the landscape and start occupying historic locations from, you know, the 1800s and now to now, that they develop a management plan for them and do not let them go crazy like the feral horse thing.
Yeah.
If there is a management plan and they can be, you know, harvested or what have you to maintain proper numbers, I'm okay with that. I would be okay with that. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who say, nope, let's nuke them all off the landscape
again. Only good wolf
again.
Is a dead wolf. Yeah,
exactly. Only good wolf is one hanging from a fence.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Everyone has their own opinions, and that's cool. That's my two cents. I think they're managed like we should be managing, because as humans, we keep expanding and expanding and expanding and taking away critical wildlife habitat. Animals, they need to be managed.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think that was very reasonably put. I do
that once in a while.
Yeah. You know, you're always the voice of reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, ChatGP helps me out there.
Oh, perfect. No, I was going to say, here's my one thing on the wolf subject and them being extinct or eradicated. If you talk to old timers, and again, as we talked about how hard they are to survey, especially so I'm thinking of one area in particular, the area around Salmon, Idaho.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And that was that herd of elk up there was extremely negatively impacted by the reintroduction of wolves. You're talking about centuries of elk behavior passed down through that herd that changed overnight. They quit bugling.
Yeah.
I mean, within a matter of months, they had quit bugling.
Yeah. It was like a dinner call.
Exactly. So I will say, without going too far down that rabbit hole, the point I want to make is if you talk to a lot of these old timers that live in these areas, especially wilderness areas or near wilderness areas in Idaho, their big point of contention is that wolves never were gone. They've always been there. It was just in lower numbers.
Yeah.
So when we started bringing them back, it was like, whoa, hold on. If they're going to proliferate, let them do it on their own. We don't need the government getting involved in this. And that was their big point of contention. I'm not optimistic about the impact wolves are going to have in the state of Nevada if they do establish packs here. Yeah. I think there will be a period of time where between coyotes, mountain lions, bears, and now wolves, that a struggling species like mule deer is going to continue to further struggle because of a new apex predator on the landscape.
There's no doubt there will be an impact to some degree. What
growing
that is,
pains?
Yeah, it's growing pains. You got to remember a lot of these species, you know, these elk and deer and antelope and bighorn sheep that have been in the state for their entire, never really experienced that type of a predator.
No.
So they don't have those learned, passed on traits of evasion or how to zip their lip and what have you to counteract being hunted by wolf packs.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen, you can get online, there are some amazing wolf pack footage of these things, you know, from a helicopter way up high, of these animals hunting. It is in like military precision.
That stuff is pretty interesting to me. Yeah.
It fascinates me. I will sit there and watch videos of that nonsense because it is just like, wow.
Yeah.
They have their little chips and calls, and then the next wolf comes running out of the bushes or runs up a tree line, and it's just like
they're talking the whole time.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So as they do start teaching their prey, like, we need to have some defenses against these animals, you're going to see some impacts. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be impacts. I mean, Nevada is pretty much surrounded right now by some pretty decent, well-established wolf packs. You've got the Shasta pack.
Yeah.
That is just on the border. You got that East Central Oregon pack that is right there. You got the Idaho pack, which obviously is potentially the ones that are
mountain home there. Yeah, that pack.
Mountain home. You've got the packs, the Utah. So we're kind of surrounded. You know, we got them. So it's not a humongous surprise that all of a sudden Nevada has
wolves. Now we've got
them,
yeah. Sincere thanks to all of you for tuning in, taking time out of your day to listen to Dave and I, for sending us your comments and your feedback. Again, the text line is 775-884-9910. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you're seeing out there. And holy smokes, if you got pictures of wolves, I'd love to see it. On that note, let's go.
Let's leave.